turn to Colossians. We'll read a few verses to get started. This will be a beginning of a series. Perhaps just thinking about that as the Lord leads, maybe for the different times that I might be asked to speak. But the book of Colossians, we'll look at this, and we'll be encouraged by it. Colossians 1, we'll just read 24 through 28, and then we'll ask the Lord's help. Colossians 1, 24 to 28. Paul writing this letter, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Father, we thank thee for this day that thou hast provided. We thank you for the word that has just been read, the thoughts concerning thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask for help again, Father, for the speaker and for the hearers. We pray again that the words that are profitable would remain. Lord, we're just so thankful that you, by your Spirit, you work this out. Father, help us all today that we might apprehend and appreciate even thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just was actually not part of my notes, but just sitting here thinking before I came up, you may have heard of the anecdote or the little metaphor, perhaps, and this is sort of a little preface to the message. There was a church that for a long time was really fundamental and strong, and it had a little sign maybe out front that said, "We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified." And we would give a hearty amen to that. Amen. And then over time, as people came and went, and maybe elders came and went, and ivy kind of grew over the sign, and it read, "We preach Christ." And then over time, things kind of came and went, and it's, "We preach," right? So you get what I'm saying here. And this is really the danger, right, in our modern day Christianity. The danger, right, is to lose the message of, right, of Christ crucified for sinners, right? That's really the challenge. So in the book of Colossians, what we'll be presented with front and center is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And I find that in my own 24 years of Christianity, right, that this is always in play. Whether I'm working at a camp with 10 to 15 year olds, or at work, or in the neighborhood, or whoever we're talking to in the highways and byways, right, the challenge is for souls to apprehend and to appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, come to die for sinners like us. Right? So this is the gospel, right? This is the good news. And so the Lord can help us in our own apprehension of these things and appreciation. So Paul, as we start to look at this book a little bit here, this morning, Paul will write a letter to the church of Colossae, and he will unfold for them and for us now. He will unfold for them some of the glories and the virtues of the person of the Lord. And it's really important, right? Either whether you're in your teens today here, which some are, or in your early stage of your life, or in your middle age like I am, or senior, whatever stage we're in, right, we would never lose that theme, the banner, the understanding, right, that the only gospel that we have to preach is that the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified for sinners. He came and died for us. When we start to really sort of dial that back, when we start to lose some of the breadth and depth of that message, right, we certainly do err. And we do an injustice to the glory of God. Very important. Very important. Again, so many that we may come into contact with that just don't, that haven't really gone all the way into a deeper understanding of who the Lord Jesus is. And let's face it, right, in the world today, many are acquainted with his name. Many may have darkened the doors of churches. Many may have heard sermons, right? And so the name of Jesus Christ certainly proliferates. But it's another thing, right, for the appreciation of him to sink down into your heart and mind, right? Because in the end, and that's what really a lot of this book will start to unfold, if it doesn't get into our hearts and minds, right, we will not live it out at all, right? We will not live as the Lord Jesus wants us to live, right? I will not bear fruit, right, unless he is in me, right? So the mystery here that we've just referenced is this idea that God will actually take up residence in us. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so this, again, this is the apprehension that when I believe, when I trust in him, when I agree with God that I am an undone sinner, bound for hell, and that I have one way of escape, one way of salvation, one way of being reconciled, one way. When I follow that way, right, the Lord Jesus will come and live on the inside. Christ in you. Amen? So that was a mystery that Paul revealed in his time while he had breath on the earth. Right, that was a hidden truth that beforehand was unknown. The Spirit kind of came and went in the Old Testament. Believers under the Daniels of the world, the Moses of the world, the Davids of the world, they understood that. They were faithful. Amen. But they did not have the abiding, indwelling, comforting role of the Holy Spirit in their day. We do. So it's a great, great blessing that we have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so this is, again, just some preface remarks, as it were, just to kind of set the tone that really Colossians will be full of the Lord Jesus. Really, and again, really important for us, whether we're young or old, just to kind of sort of get back to the center, which is the person of the Lord. So important, again, which will help us with our worship, with our service, with our obedience, all those things that flow from us as believers. As believers. The other verse, if you're taking notes, another verse that you might call a theme verse, perhaps, for the whole book of Colossians would be Colossians 3:11. I'll just read that. Again, this will reference some of what was just said. It's Colossians 3:11 reads, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Christ is all and in all, right? So even we see it today in the world. You know, just the fragmentation, right? Just the division, the class division, racial division, political division, right? All kinds of division. I mean, it's front and center. You got Charlottesville. We've got the Middle East. We've got Arab Islam, and a host of other things in Europe and elsewhere, right? There's no lack of confrontation, championing one side and the other, and so forth. You're with me, correct? So this verse, Colossians 3:11, just kind of takes all that out of play, right? Male, female, Jew, Gentile, all the things that may have been appropriate at this time, and says, hey, here's the center. Christ is all. Period. Right? He is all things. He is all and in all. And so it's a great thing really to come to that realization, right? When we come to trust the Lord, we become Christians. Right? We become Christians. And He becomes our Lord and Savior. I just wanted to mention that again. Many are troubled, even in prayer meetings and other places, we talk to different ones, kind of look at the landscape and look at things around us where storms are swirling in families, in society, and so forth. But this book, like Paul, his remedy, look at Jesus, right? Look at his virtue, look at his life, look at his character, look at what he's accomplished. Look at what he's doing. And I'd say it's just a great recipe, amen? It's a great recipe for us, again, because we do become unsettled, right? We become unsettled, we may have fears, we may have doubts, and we may have concerns. And so Christ is all and in all. I was reading just recently in World Magazine about China. And so a company I happen to work for has some operations in China, like many companies do. And, China's been open for 20 plus years, maybe going on 30 now, economically. And, it's been a big success for many in terms of business and such. And people have been able to kind of go in quietly, surreptitiously with Bibles and with the gospel, as we know, home churches, underground, so forth. But even today, in 2017, after some 30 years, just because of the enemy wanting to kind of restrain, if you will, that Christ-centeredness, the spread of the gospel, the enemy there in China is still actively working to subdue, to restrain, to imprison, to control people from hearing the gospel that we're preaching today. You know, it's just an amazing thing. It would be that way in North Korea, right? It would be that way in other Islamic strongholds and so forth. And so we do have the liberty today, right, to stand on the platform and just unfold the wonder of it all, right, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, while many, like even Paul here, even as he writes this, right, imprisoned. He's imprisoned. He's suffering for the sake of the gospel. And so it made me think of, like I was thinking about Paul writing this wonderful letter in prison. In chains, as it were, as he had written several letters. Again, not knowing what may or may not happen, in his life in that, and yet he was able to unfold things that we now, some 2,000 years later, are appreciating. Mm-hmm. Right, we're able to enter into these things. So, who else could orchestrate this, right? But the person of the Lord God, that you could take a man struggling, if you will, in a prison, and have him write things down that would be for us so vital, so critical to our daily lives. You know, again, it speaks to me just of a sovereign God. That even when we read this, how amazing it is, the truth that it contains. So we find in chapter 1, verse 1, we find these words in Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writing just at the outset here with Timothy, one who he knew well, one who he served with, one who he wanted to encourage in the faith. We know we have the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy during his lifetime. But again, they serve together, and he's writing to the saints, Christians, and faithful brethren. When I read this, it made me think of just that couplet of words, faithful brethren. And oh, that we would be that kind of people, right? In our lives, you know, that we would be faithful. And this is really, it's really good to do a little bit of introspection, right? To say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be what you want me to be in Christ. Help me to serve you. Help me to use the gifts that you've given me, right? Faithful, faithful brethren. It's interesting to recognize, right, that the Lord identifies that, right? So just think about this, right? Like, even as we live our lives, the Lord looks down from heaven all the time to see who would understand, who would repent, who would serve, who would appreciate his son, right? He's looking down all the time, right? And then when one responds with faith as small as a mustard seed, he is there. He is there to grant repentance unto eternal life. I mean, such is the person of our God. That's really important to have that viewpoint. To recognize that God wills that none would perish eternally. Let me say that again. His will is that none would have eternal separation from him in hell. The contrast to that, though, is we know, unfortunately, because we have the Bible, that most will not believe. Most will say, I have no interest in the blood that saves. Most will say, look, I'm really busy in life, leave me alone. But yet the gospel message will still go forth, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? So that some might be saved. And that's why, right, we have camps, Bible classes, VBSs, door-to-door, outreaches, right? There's stadium evangelism. There's no lack of outreach and witness so that some would believe and become faithful and become part of that group, if you will, that would be called faithful, faithful brethren. Again, a lot of distractions today in the world. I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, it's really interesting to me to see where we are in 2017. Again, no, not that it was easier 20, 30, or 40 years ago, but I read a really interesting article that just talked about some of the challenges that young people have, millennials today, because of technology and phones and internet and Instagram and texting and YouTube and movies and TV and media. All these things that just sort of amuse, entertain, occupy time, and really sort of prevent, right? Just kind of prevent what this editorial is called deeper thinking. You know, being able to read, just to read something and to think about it. Yeah. Right? You know, this is really a great challenge. You know, we have all this technology, and I think even the scores on these public tests for reading comprehension, that there's no improvement. Like, educationally, it's not like we're hitting the stratosphere throughout the country because we have all of this great technology and learning. I mean, I know I can go to Google and find facts out for anything, and I do. Right? I take advantage of it. But it doesn't necessarily help me, right, with apprehending deep truths. Staying in the game, like reading the book of Colossians and trying to apprehend, what is God saying to me here? What does he mean? What has he done? And how does it have an impact on me? You know, would to God again that we help ourselves and help our young and help our future generation just really to go in for just really trying to read the Bible and to understand what it says. It's really important. Really important. And so I just am thankful that we have the opportunity to do that, to help some understand, whether it's small children at a VBS. We just had a class just last Sunday downstairs, and I just asked, just generally, I said, just in the Old Testament, I said, who has not heard of Noah? You know, Noah, like two hands went up. Okay, that's fine. Well, they had heard of Jesus, and that's great. And so we start there, obviously. But some, again, not familiar with maybe some of the things that, like, we take for granted, like the story of Adam and Eve. The account of Adam and Eve, I should say, as they lived their lives. Or Noah in his day, right? Who was faithful, right? It's really neat to go over accounts of faithful men and women. And what they, and how they lived their lives in the crucible that they lived, right? Did Noah live at a very easy time? I think not. How about this? He lived at a time when God could write that the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of every man was only evil continually. Now, in some ways, I think that maybe that could be said today. Well, the Lord will have to tell us that later. But at least in Noah's day, in Genesis 6, we have that as the record. How amazing. Right? It said that God repented that it even made man in that day. Such was the departure. Such was the proclivity of mankind just to rebel and forsake the living God in that day. Entirely given over to evil continually. And so the Lord decided to save some in that time period. Right? And we went over that with the kids. As many as would get on the boat. The ark, right? How many? Eight souls. So God saved 8 souls by grace. Amen? By grace, He saved 8 souls that day. In that time period. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, the giving of thanks. Alright, so here's the exhortation for this. Oh, thankfulness. Do we think it's kind of, again, is it out of favor or is it just me? Being thankful. Saying thank you. A thankful people. I was taking my mom Friday back and forth to Lankenal. A Jewish radio personality, really cool, like listening to him, but I don't get a chance because I'm working typically, but this time I was driving my mom's back and forth. And he went on about thankfulness. Right, so this, I thought this was really interesting. This is, again, someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, but really has thought deeply about the world, the current state of affairs. And I was just really impressed by his, you know, he went on to say, you know, thankful people are happy people. And I can affirm that, right? When I became a Christian and entered into the wonder of it all that God would love me so and save my soul, right, I instantly became a thankful person. Amen. I understood probably for the first time like I never had, wow, what a God. And then I start to realize, as you start to read the Bible, whew, look what He's providing. Look what He has given. Not just redeeming me from the pit of hell, which He has, but showering me, right, with heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. And then coming to realize, like, everything that I own or possess or have contact with came from Him. His hand. His very hand. Right? I mean, we could be here for a long time if we were to sort of go through the thankfulness elements of each of our lives. True? Now listen, it's possible in periods of your life, right, you may miss that. The challenges, the difficulties, the trials, the sufferings. But interesting enough, Paul's in prison and he is always, always giving thanks. It's just the amazing thing about how God has so changed Paul. And I think, you know, it's really important, I think, for us as well. you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, it says, in everything, give thanks. Not always easy to do, beloved. Amen? But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I think when it comes to thankfulness and that, right, we learn words that we didn't know before, like when we become Christians. I learned what grace is. Right? Before I was a Christian, right, people say, hey, let's say grace, or let's give thanks for the meal. I've heard that term. But to know what grace is, God's unmerited favor towards me. Undeserving as I was, He had favor on me. Grace. Some say God's riches at Christ's expense, right? There's different ways perhaps we could define that word grace. But to be thankful for the grace of God, it's just, I think, to me, a different way of thinking. Now, what I see in the world, and unfortunately what we can see even among those that are close to us, is if we don't have a thankful spirit, sometimes what I call an entitlement mindset. I'm owed things, right? Give me. I want this. This should be mine. I call that the entitlement mindset. And I think to myself, what do I really deserve, right? Like once I come to know the Lord, I think to myself, what do I really deserve? Not much, right? I mean, grace changes everything, right? When we know the Lord Jesus Christ, everything, like my Christ in me, my mind changes, right? I think about the things that the Lord was entitled to. What was the Lord Jesus entitled to when he was born of a virgin in his day? King of kings, Lord of lords, at his birth. Amen? Creator of the rolling spheres, at his birth. What was he entitled to? What would be fitting such a king? You know? What should mankind do for such a one among them? How would he be treated? How would he be responded to? Someone who actually would show evidences of it, right? So not just at his birth, but even as he grew and would become a man and walk among men. So he would actually, right, prove his goodness. He would prove his grace. He would demonstrate his holiness. He would live out, if you will, the Godhead in a body. And so what should be done for such a one? What was he entitled to? What did he deserve? Praise, right? Adoration, homage, worship. But it's not what he received. It's not what he received at all, right? We know the rest of the story. So, you know, I think about the Lord Jesus, and we talk about it a lot on the Lord's Supper, and it'll be referenced, all of the aspects of what he endured for us. It's just great to think about it. It's good to enter into the depths of it. And you know what it's always going to produce? Thankfulness. It has to. If we're meeting once a week or as often as we do, and we're remembering the Lord and his death, it is gonna have to produce a spirit and a mindset of thankfulness. If it does not, there's a concern there. There's a concern there because, again, this happens, right? Kids, young people can grow up in the meeting, hear the truth, hear different ones pop up. Older men, younger men, so on and so on. They can hear it for 15 years and miss it. And miss the Lord Jesus. It's possible. In fact, it's quite prevalent. I mean, many of you here that are older have kids and have grandkids and that, right? Not everyone who is in the meeting is thankful to the Lord Jesus for coming to earth, living a life, and dying for their sins. It demonstrates again the enemy. It demonstrates our own hearts. It demonstrates again that we're interested in ourselves and our own agendas. And that's natural. But thanks be to God that He does open the hearts and minds of some. He does open their hearts and minds. And so I'm so thankful for that. And so we keep preaching. So we would never want to miss, again, preaching the gospel that saves, that redeems. So important. Prayer. He says there in verse 3, praying always for you. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that the Apostle Paul, besides traveling around as much as he did, writing the letters as much as he did, being in prison as much as he was, he always had time to pray. How amazing. It's a great example. Talking to the Lord, showing thanksgiving, showing dependence. You know, it seems in many ways, right, that really a prayerful Christian, it's where you draw your resources, right? Some would say recharge the batteries, get closer to the Lord, align your will, get in tune. However you want to phrase it, right, through prayer that happens. It's your prayer time, it's your prayer closet, it's away from the Lord, it's away from the busyness of your schedule, it's away from the parenting, being with the grandkids, being a chauffeur, making meals, whatever you're doing, right? One-on-one with the Creator.
Amen.
He does not, he wills that we pray. He pleads with us. How about that? That we pray. Right? Because because we just can't get out of any of these letters of Paul without just being confronted, right, with this idea of prayer. Of prayer. And to top it all off, the Lord Jesus prayed. Again, who's sufficient to even explain that? Who can even expound that? The Lord Himself, God Himself, as a man, prayed to His Heavenly Father often. Often. At the very least, beloved, we could say that that's an example for us, right? At the very least, we would say, wow, the Lord Jesus showing that in His humanity, He needed to talk to His Heavenly Father. Praying for others. We have the prayer in John 17 that's often studied and it's wonderful to look at. But He often prayed. And so there's many great examples, I think. And beloved, it's great to look at the prayers of the Bible. Right? Helps us. Helps us with the spirit and the attitude in that and the mindset. You know, Hannah, first there in Samuel, right? There it is. Hannah, this beloved woman of God, married to a man who has another wife. Again, we understand that in that culture and that happened, it was not God's will, but there it is. Elkanah has two wives. Hannah's one of them. And she cannot bear a child. Barren. And so, here we have the prayer of Hannah that she would bear a child, and if the Lord would grant it, she would give him back. That prayer is in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Imagine the Lord, you know, again, looking down on the sons of men of that time. Looking down on all the marriages, all the families, all the scene. And here's this one pouring out her soul to the unseen God. Lord, that I might have a child to be raised up for Your glory. How about that? We have that prayer. We have the prayer of Daniel. I just want to read a few verses. That's it. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and I just read through it a little bit just in preparation for this. Daniel chapter 9. Just a few verses of Daniel chapter 9. And again, I think the help here, just for the sake of just this one message, is just to think about Daniel's intercession. A servant of the Lord, well chronicled in the previous chapters, Daniel was faithful as a young man, as we know. Wanting to do what was right, wanting to serve the Lord, and he did a wonderful job there in Babylon as a captive. Right? So we read here in Daniel 9, just to appreciate some of the sentiment in the way he approaches the Lord, just the way he approaches the Lord in his time. It says in verse 3, Daniel speaking, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." How wise. How amazing. What a way to start. You know, what a way to begin. I mean, this is someone who had a depth of understanding of who God is and how God works among the sons of men. He says in verse 5 now, as a matter of testimony, "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments." So confession of sin. "Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. As it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all countries to which you've driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we've sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." So more could be said. It's just again wonderful just to kind of see his contrition, his statements of fact. He's talking to a God who he knows well. He knows God is righteous in dealing with the nation of Israel at that time. He knows God had sent judgment upon the nation of Israel. He knows all those things. And yet he knows God is merciful and just. It's really neat. We don't have time to look at it. It's really neat that later on in this chapter, just as God had responded to Hannah's prayer, God responds mightily to this prayer of Daniel. He sends the angel Gabriel to go speak to Daniel. Can you just smile at that? What a God. What a God that would just... Again, by the way, not saying that if we pray earnestly tonight that God needs to send an angel, right? But in that time, at that moment of history, with all that was pressing upon Daniel, with all that was in the balance, God, in his sovereignty, sent an angel to encourage him with the things that would soon take place in the future. And we have the right. It just causes us to be thankful and grateful to a God who reveals truth to his people. Truth. So wonderful. Verse 4 of Colossians 1. "Since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So we'll close on this verse. We who are believers, we who are Christ-centered, we who know the Lord, right, we have a hope, which is the anchor of the soul.
Amen.
Right? which is laid up for you in heaven. So heaven is real. The Lord Jesus Christ is real. We have a hope which is real. And Paul is encouraging these dear ones in Colossae. Get this. Don't miss this. The truth of the gospel. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're redeemed. He'll say later in chapter 1, you are translated from darkness into his marvelous kingdom of light. Right? These are eternal truths, eternal realities. Again, and this is the blessing that we have as believers on the earth. Yes, we'll go through our days. Yes, we'll have work to do. Yes, we will, as unless the Lord comes, we will get older. Harold not liking that too much. If the Lord be not come, but just like Daniel or Hannah or John the Baptist or any of the people of faith that we can call to mind, right? We have the opportunity in our day to maintain our foundation and our sure footing on the rock, which is the person of Christ. And not to be, as we'll read in Colossians perhaps later if he gives us time, to fall into the vain philosophies and vanities and foolishness of things in the world, which unfortunately do affect people and unfortunately do lead people astray and do get them derailed and do get them sidetracked. Because they appeal to the flesh. The flesh. So Lord, help us all, help our families as we continue in our pilgrimage. But this is a great book. I know we've just kind of tasted a little bit of this. But again, let me remind you that Christ is all and in all will be sort of a banner if we're allowed to expound some of this in the time to come. And we'll just unfold just sort of a rainfall of blessing and virtue that is in this book pertaining to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just bow in thy presence with thanksgiving. We appreciate and are so joyous at your grace in our lives. We're thankful, Father, for the words of Paul to the Colossians, just reminding us of our duties even, to be faithful, to be prayerful, to be loving, to be mindful of the gospel, of other saints, of those in need. Our God, we just pray again that we might be ambassadors for you while we have breath. That as we go from place to place, that we might have occasion to offer up a word in season to help some who are yet outside the kingdom. Our God, we just thank you for the opportunity to open your word. We pray that you would bless the word to our hearts. And Lord, most of all, Father, most of all, that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up. That he would be preeminent in our hearts and lives. Our God, we just pray these things and ask thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.